Good morning. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the assembly. Appreciate your presence. I've been talking this month about first principles. Talked about what a person needs to do to become a Christian. One of those things is to believe in Jesus. And another thing is to repent of one's sins. And I talked about that last week. It's a change of heart whereby a person determines that they're not going to live for themselves, but they're going to live for God. And then they actually make that change because that's what repentance is. It's a change of intention that leads to a change of life. And when one becomes a Christian, one has to do that. If you don't do that, then you don't really become a Christian. It doesn't follow. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. This morning I want to talk about something else you need to do at the point that you become a Christian. And it's completely related. Sometimes when we talk about these things, we talk about them in isolation. That's because there's a lot to talk about with each one. But they all go together, as we'll see this morning. And one of those things that goes together with faith and repentance is confessing Christ. You have to confess Christ. And my title is Confession, It Has to Be Said. It has to be said. My alternative title was, It Doesn't Go Without Saying. I amuse myself much more than I amuse other people. But confession has to be said. It has to be said because that's what confession is. You probably remember when you became a Christian that someone asked you a question. They stood you up here or in the baptistry or someplace. They asked you a question. They said, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, or something to that effect? And you said yes, and that was your confession. And that's basically what we're talking about, although it's not just some kind of little set-piece ritual. It is the act of acknowledging publicly and openly that you believe that Jesus is Christ, along with some other things. And it's important that you understand what that is and why it's necessary. In order to get this point across, we're going to look at Romans chapter 10, a passage in Romans that is really about faith. It's about the fact that many Jews did not believe in Christ. They rejected Christ, and many Gentiles did believe in Christ and acknowledge Christ. And that's what the passage is really about. It's about those who believe and those who don't believe. But in the process of talking about this, Paul says, you know, that the person who believes is the person who confesses. And he says in Romans 10 and verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. He quotes a passage from the Old Testament there. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. It's interesting that he uses those particular words. He quotes that particular passage. The word that is near you, it is in your heart, it is in your mouth. The act of not only hearing the message, but actually having the message, possessing the message in your heart, but also in your mouth. That the word is not some distant, disconnected thing. That it is right there with you. It is inside of you. It's actually in your heart and in your mouth. This message that we proclaim, this word of faith that we proclaim. And it is a word of faith. It's a word that requires faith, is predicated upon faith, must be received with faith. And it's about faith. It's a message about faith. And we proclaim this message to you. And you receive it. And when you receive it, it's in your heart and it's in your mouth. And then he goes on by way of explanation in verse 9. He says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's talk about these verses in detail in a moment. Let's go ahead and read the rest of the passage before we do. For with the heart one believes, verse 10, and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. And here Paul is making an application of these principles that he quoted from the Old Testament, but applied to its consummation in Christ. And he says, this is the meaning of all of this. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek. You've got to believe this message and you've got to acknowledge this message. You've got to confess this message about Christ. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. And that's what we're talking about. That when one embraces the gospel, you are calling upon God for His grace and mercy and forgiveness. And God grants it. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew. It doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile or a man or a woman or what nationality or race. It doesn't matter who you are. If you will embrace this message and call on Him, He'll grant you salvation. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And everything that we do when we obey the gospel constitutes calling on the name of the Lord in the sense that Paul's talking about here. When you believe and you repent and you confess and when you're baptized, all of that is calling on the name of the Lord. And we're going to talk simply about confession today. Because when you call on the name of the Lord,